This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I wonder if you've ever approached a place so special, so holy, you get a thrill just by drawing close to it, even before you even get there. I distinctly remember feeling that way when my husband and I approached our daughter-in-law, who was lying in a hospital bed, cradling her newborn son, the very first of our six grandchildren. I could describe it like a burning bush moment, as mentioned in Exodus chapter 3, where God commanded Moses to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. Before us that day was a brand new life, and the presence of God was all around us. I felt tingles not only of excitement, but of awe. I could name a few other such places too that have filled me with a sense of wonder, particularly in the Holy Land when we went there some years ago. But I imagine that everyone at some time or other in their lives have sensed moments of awe and wonder. Perhaps at a spectacular sunset or sunrise, or night stars on a cloudless night, or perhaps the northern lights, or love's first awakening. Special moments like these are priceless. Let's listen to Hillsong singing, "How Great Thou Art."
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy path throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul,
County Mayo in Ireland once, and I can still feel that excitement as we drove towards Crowpatrick. It's a mountain on which St. Patrick fasted for 40 days and nights in the year 411 AD. Legend has it that he drove all snakes and demons from Ireland with his prayers. In the distance we could see this large pyramid-shaped mountain, it being just over 2,500 feet high. I remember thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to climb that. Each year, though, on the last Sunday in July, thousands of pilgrims climb it together. How they manage this, I don't really know, as much of the time you're clambering over fairly large stones underfoot, which seem to slide downhill as you step on them. It's definitely a case of two steps up and one back. Some people were giving up and going back down. But we noticed a wonderful elderly couple supporting one another as they climbed, hand in hand. I saw them stopping every now and then to catch their breath. We soon overtook them. The view from the top, though, was fantastic. The atmosphere electric. We sat for a long while recovering our breath and gazing at the many small islands below. Some say there are 365 of them, one for each day of the year. But then as we turned to go down, we saw that same elderly couple, still hand in hand, finally reaching the summit. I almost applauded them for their perseverance and their devotion. You know, God supports us like that, when life's not easy and everything seems like an uphill struggle. One of my favourite of all time songs is You Raise Me Up, and here it is, sung by Josh Groban.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. Stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Be.
Our Bible reading today tells us of the time when Peter, James and John made a similar journey with Jesus all the way to the summit of a mountain. Experts can't agree whether this mountain was Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, but whichever one it was a place of solitude. It was there that they were made aware of the awesome majesty of Jesus, their Lord and Saviour, when he was transfigured. In Peter's second letter, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, Peter himself wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." That was an anthem from Taizé called Gloria. So what actually happened that day on the mountain? Let's listen to Matthew's account of their awesome journey. I'm reading from Matthew 17, 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here's a song called The Splendor of Our King.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands,
mountain, these disciples, Peter, James and John, saw for themselves a brilliant metamorphosis. There was a definite change in Jesus' appearance. His garments became radiant. The word Mark uses was still been, like the glistening gleam of gold or precious metal. Jesus' face shone like the glare of sunlight was upon him. He was transfigured, and the disciples were overcome with awe. Not only that, but wonder of wonders, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet were there with Jesus, talking to him. The disciples were told not to speak of it until after Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now, many people have claimed throughout history that Jesus was merely a good man, a notable teacher, a worker of good deeds, a prophet of some note. Some claim today he's their friend and brother. But here in today's reading, we see how the disciples were given a wonderful picture preview of one who had come to be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scripture tells us that Jesus' divine nature had been veiled or curtained in human form. But here at the top of the mountain, Peter, James and John saw through and beyond this curtain to a glimpse of his future glory and majesty. Here's a popular hymn from the Keswick Convention. You are the King of Glory.
You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord.
It's here that Peter wanted to make three shelters or booths, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What was he thinking of? His suggestion makes perfect sense if he had had in mind a tabernacle, the kind that the Hebrews erected to worship God when they wandered through the desert after their exodus from Egypt. If indeed he did mean this kind of shelter, he was right in one sense that in Jesus the presence of God was fully displayed, but wrong in another sense because only one of these three people deserved such honour and worship. God's voice sounded from heaven, just as it did at Jesus' baptism, repeating once more, "This is my Son, listen to him." I wonder if we are indeed making space to listen out for God's voice today. I wonder if we would dare to ask him to reveal his presence to us too, bearing in mind God's word to Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 29, 12 to 13. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you," declares the Lord. May I end our programme today with a beautiful prayer which unfortunately has been published anonymously, or I could have named the author. Let us pray. O God of high mountains and sacred dwelling places, reveal to us your loving presence as we listen this day. Come meet us in the sacred space around us now. O God of lofty heights and distant thunder, speak to us and help us to listen. Challenge us and inspire us to action. O God of overshadowing cloud and morning mists, renew our vision and help us to see clearly the way ahead. Come, Holy God, open our hearts, bring us to wholeness and health, and speak to us. Transfigure us and change us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to finish our programme today with a song written by a lady who had her own uphill struggles. Hers was against ill health, and one day when she was railing against her illness and great anger at the dining table, a friend advised her to try and replace her rage and inner turmoil with peace and a simple faith in God. And from that day on, this lady called Charlotte Elliott turned her literary talents to hymn writing. She decided to come to God just as she was, and it saved her from a life filled with bitterness and torment. So to finish, here is her hymn, "Just As I Am." It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Thank you.
just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight bridges, healing of the mind, they all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I